Well, thank you for that. That beautiful prayer, time of confession, leads us right into the scripture for today. We are in Isaiah chapter 6, and let's jump in. We're going to see this scripture appear on the screen. There it is. Okay. The very first verse tells us that it was in the year that King Uzziah died. This was 800 years before Jesus was born, at a time when Israel was divided into two kingdoms. There was one in the north and one in the south, and King Uzziah ruled the people of the south. They were known as the people of Judah, and he ruled them for 52 long years. That was a long time. He started ruling when he was 16 years old, and these were good and stable years for the people of Judah. But then very suddenly, he died. And this event was so significant that, to put it into our terms, we might as well be reading that it was the year 2020, a time when suddenly nothing was normal. Life drastically changed, and people everywhere were depressed and exhausted. Isaiah wants to tell us that it was in this year that he had a vision. Let's go on. He writes, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe was filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two, they covered their faces, and with two, they covered their feet, and with two, they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Now, if your mind is starting to wander as we start to read about celestial beings, hang in there with me. Me too. If this were a movie, this is when I would be starting to drift off to sleep. So let's remind ourselves again that this is ancient literature. This was written some 2,800 years ago. Of course, there are things that sound a little different, a little odd, a little bit confusing perhaps to us. It's important to know that the people of Judah lived under the threat of the Assyrian Empire. This army, the army of the Assyrians, these guys were the most technologically advanced and savvy of the day. This was the local superpower. And so now without a king, the people of Judah were even more vulnerable. So when Isaiah sees the Lord sitting on a throne with a robe that is so large, just the hem of the robe fills the entire temple, the people of Judah would have been comforted and greatly reassured. Oh yes, that's right, they would have thought to themselves. The Lord our God is huge and mighty and great, even bigger than the mighty Assyrians. Maybe we are going to be okay. Isaiah casts this vision to invite them to remember how great and mighty God is, in hopes of giving them a bit of perspective, just as we seek to do by coming together online now for worship, to get perspective on our lives by turning and remembering who God is. Well, let's go on to the rest of the passage. The next screen says, "The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out.'" In ancient times, it was believed that no one could see the Lord and live. It was a sure and certain death. So Isaiah here sees the Lord, is immediately aware of his sin and what that might mean. And then this angelic being heals him of his guilt. Now, we can talk about this vision in different ways, but I want to talk about it this morning as a reference to God as healer. Because to be human is to be in need of healing. And to be a person of faith is to be someone who looks to God for that healing. We all need healing, right? We need healing from our illness when we're sick. We need healness from our injury when we're injured. We need healing from our fear, from our grief, from our exhaustion. We need healing from our anxiety, from our regrets. We need healing from all sorts of things. We need healing from all forms of sin. Well, we'll come back to this in a moment and reflect on a little bit more, but let's continue with the end of the passage. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Well, this part of the vision begs the question, where is the Lord calling Isaiah to go? And what is this work he will be called to do? I'm not going to go into that. You'll have to read the end of the chapter to find out. But this ancient story is one of many stories in the Bible that reveals to us a God who heals people and then sends them out. This was certainly the work of Jesus, right? We remember so many healing stories. Healing and sending, healing and sending. That was the work of Jesus. We remember that Jesus said he came for the sick, not for the healthy. So if we are to see ourselves as a part of the story of God healing people and then sending them out, it's a reminder that we must first remember to see ourselves first as sick, in need of a healer. Well, in the ancient Mediterranean region at the time when Jesus lived, a person's life actually included more sickness than health. There were periods of occasional health here and there, but sickness was assumed. Strange, right? It's exactly the opposite from how we think of our sickness and our health. We assume, we expect health. And think about how annoyed we are even when we just get a cold. Oh, can't wait for this to be over, back to good health. And then when we have an illness that's more serious or long-term, it's completely disorienting. And we grieve our good health, the loss of it. Well, in the ancient world, sickness was assumed. That was the norm. So you can imagine, we understand this, why people flocked to Jesus for healing. Well, it's interesting to talk about this while we're living through a global pandemic, when we are perhaps more aware of our need for healing and for people who help us heal, maybe than ever before. We know we need our doctors, we need our nurses and our healthcare workers, we need our scientists, and we know we need a vaccine, like yesterday. But as we think about illness, I want to invite us to think about it beyond just physical illness or even mental illness. Healing is something that we all need, just in different ways. And so I want to very briefly highlight a tool that I have found incredibly helpful. It's called the Enneagram. Some of you I know are very familiar with this. Here is one picture of the Enneagram. There are 9 different types, as you can see here on this chart. And this is much more than just a personality test. It's an ancient tool. It's been around forever. It's a tool for really understanding your motivations, your interior life, what goes on inside your headspace, why it goes on. And it's also an ancient tool to discern what it looks like for me personally to experience healing and to grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And it's not the same journey for everyone. You don't need to just all volunteer more. That's not what it looks like for all of us. Richard Rohr is a great thinker, writer, and he talks about the Enneagram and how it reveals to us our root sins and what it looks like for God to heal us personally. So we can all generally relate to something in each one of the nine spaces, but the idea is that we all have at least one place where we feel more at home. So just for example, the number six, the root sin is fear, and the healing journey is toward courage. The root sin for the number one is anger, and the journey is toward peace. The number two, the sin is pride, moving toward humility. There is so much to this. I'm just barely scratching the surface of it, but I highly recommend it as a really helpful tool for just kind of going with God inside your own heart, your own headspace, so that you can kind of understand more who you are. And for me, it's also a really helpful tool in understanding other people so that I can see them with more grace. So much of who we are, we just can't help it. It's just who we are. But healing, right, is at the heart of the gospel, which is why we're talking about this. It's why we gather here for worship. We believe that God, in God's great mercy, sees us just as we are, sees our suffering, sees our sin, sees our illness, and is moved by us, comes among us in Jesus to heal us and to bring us hope, and then sends us out to bear witness to the God we put our hope in. And at the very center is this confession that we need God. And my experience is this doesn't just happen once, but happens again and again. And we partner with God in the journey of our own healing, which is why my ministry has come to include yoga and meditation. These are healing practices. I love the word practice. We never arrive. We just keep at it and trust that God meets us in the partnership and moves us along the way. Well, in this story, Isaiah is healed of his unclean lips and then sent out. And I was thinking about it this week as we celebrated Veterans Day and remembered courageous people who said what Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." If we need models of people who boldly said yes to living for something bigger than themselves, we've got them. Some of them are on this Zoom call right now. But what does it mean for you and me, for you and me to be sent out, especially now living in a pandemic? What does this mean? Well, I don't know. I don't know what it means, but I want to invite us to think about a phrase that Henri Nouwen uses. He calls us wounded healers. He says we are wounded in countless ways. We are wounded by the horrible things that happen to us. We're wounded by our own poor choices. We're wounded by our grief. We're wounded by our addictions. We're wounded by the broken systems and institutions that we are born into, of which we are complicit. But we are not just a wounded people. We are a people who find hope for our wounds by looking to Jesus, who is our wounded healer. He heals us and then sends us out. And so this passage from Isaiah really is an invitation for us to reflect, how do we need God's healing in our own lives? And what does it look like for God to send us out? Well, here's the thing. If we were to say to God right now, "Here I am, send me," I don't know if God would call us to go anywhere at all. Especially right now, right? But maybe we can identify and embrace this identity as wounded healers, seeing ourselves as wounded, but still sent out, commissioned outward. Even while we're social distancing, even while we're living indoors, too much time alone, isolated from others, even while we live through this pandemic, can we still see ourselves as sent out, commissioned out to spread everywhere the aroma of Christ and to witness to the hope that we find in him? This is the summary of my sermon right there on the blue screen. We are sent out as wounded healers, commissioned to spread everywhere the aroma of Christ's love and to bear witness to the hope we find in him. Well, I want to end by reflecting on Galatians chapter 5. This is a passage that talks about the fruits of God's Spirit. And as we think about being healed and what that looks like for us, and as we think about being sent out and what that might mean for us, I think this passage may be helpful. I have found it helpful. Maybe you will too. So I'm going to read it, and then we'll enter our time of reflecting on this, specifically this verse. Here it is. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of God's Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen.